This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top stories of the day. I got one here, and this is a top story. This is big. It's local-ish, but it's this is the kind of thing I like to see. Josh Allen was named into Wyoming's Hall of Fame, which is great. And I know Josh spoke about that and very passionate about Wyoming, and that's big. Well, now the and you guys also remember that Wyoming had an ad that aired during the 2025 Super Bowl. It was celebrating Josh Allen and his most valuable player achievement. Cody Tucker, our friend over at 7220sports.com, documenting this, the University of Wyoming has entered an agreement with the Buffalo Bills aimed at increasing UW's brand awareness and building a student recruitment pipeline in Western New York and among Bills fans everywhere. So what this looks like, Wyoming is going to be the official home game sponsor of Buffalo's November 16th game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the university will be kind of labeled as a proud partner of the Bills for the 25-26 season. Cody did some digging on this because people are like, what does that mean? Costs and everything, is that a good idea? The basically public records gave out some information here. 7220sports.com submitted a public records request from the university asking for the cost associated with this partnership. Cowboy State Daily is reporting the school spent $300,000 on the deal. I think that's money well spent. Advertising inside an NFL game, and one of the more popular teams in the NFL right now is the Buffalo Bills because of Josh Allen. You got to take advantage of that connection while Josh Allen is still in his prime, playing at such a high level. If people see, wow, you know, in this day and age of college sports and guys jumping ship and going everywhere in this way, seeing that you can go to a school like Wyoming, and again, there's pros that come out of Wyoming, but a guy like this, like Josh Allen, who's larger than life, I think it's a great thing. It includes a host of in-stadium and digital marketing assets featuring Wyoming before, during, and after the November 16th game. So, cool story there. This one's not such a cool story. Former Denver Nuggets mascot is speaking out after filing a lawsuit against the team's ownership group, Kroenke Sports and Entertainment, alleging disability discrimination and an unlawful severance offer. Drake Solomon, this according to CBSNews.com, Drake Solomon was Rocky from 2021 until just this past season, claims that he was wrongfully terminated after undergoing double hip replacement surgery. His father had performed as Rocky for more than 30 years before Solomon took over the role. Solomon says the lawsuit is not only for himself, but also on behalf of other KSC employees who, since the 2023 passage of Colorado's POWR Act, Protecting Opportunities and Workers' Rights, have allegedly been offered similar unlawful agreements. Interesting. Solomon said during the team's 2023 championship run, he was diagnosed with a painful bone condition that impacted his ability to perform. After notifying supervisors that he would need surgery, Solomon alleges the organization began tryouts for his replacement, citing a lack of confidence in his health. Wow. No idea. There's been an interesting history with the Rocky mascot. I'm guessing it was Solomon's dad, the one that was, when he was up in the rafters, like lost oxygen and passed out while they're lowering from the rafters. And he's just, it's just, he's hanging there. That's like, I watch almost every game. I remember, I'm like, dude, Rocky is not okay. Another time I watched him, he was going up for a dunk and like landed on the back, he did a flip and landed on the back of his neck. And I remember him, he's laying there, and I just remember Marlo going, Rocky with the dunk. And Rocky gets up and he starts like motioning for medical to come help him. I remember catching that. And then years ago, I'm guessing again it was Solomon's dad, he attended as Rocky a political event and was kind of got in trouble for that because he was representing the Nuggets at a political event. And that's kind of a no-no. I mean, I think. I don't know. People are doing political stuff all the time now, it seems.
I mean, if I was with the team, I would want to stay completely neutral because I know I have people from all sides of the aisle. So I can understand them going, no.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I whether you're a conservative or a Democrat, I don't love when you're on the floor and you're in your jerseys. I don't love the statements and stuff like I'm not into that. If you want to be political off the floor and you're on your own time, great. That's on me now to choose whether I want to listen to it. But if I'm watching a game and then they're doing a, you know, some kind of a presentation or a demonstration politically, it usually turns me off. But I'm a sports guy and I'm still watching. But it's just been a strange, kind of a strange history for Rocky over the years. Yes.
I don't know much about the termination thing, but I think from an owner's standpoint, if I think that he cannot be Rocky adequately anymore,
yeah,
I'm going to have to terminate him. I'm going to have to say, look, you can't do this anymore. But I think if I have a decent amount of money, I'm going to say, I like you. I like your family. We're going to give you a severance package, and we're going to give you one that's, you know, pretty fair. Like, yeah. I hope they didn't screw him over.
Well, it sounds like they did, according to him.
I don't know what the situation is. I don't want to comment too much.
Right. You can't do that job.
I'm assuming from his point of view.
Right.
Like, he wanted to be that. Maybe that was his dream. And maybe the severance package wasn't enough for his dream.
Well, and if they're telling him one thing and not doing another, that's a big issue too. And so, again, a lot of times with these top stories, more to come out on this. But mascots are, especially at the NBA, you're jumping around. You're doing crazy stuff. And if you can't do crazy stuff, you're not going to be a mascot. Big Hub on the Wyoming story. Stupidest idea, no matter what you say. It's Wyoming. Nobody cares. You're nodding your head back there. You got to try to do something to market your school.
Yeah, but you're marketing it to. Are you marketing it to just one state?
Well, you're using the Josh Allen thing, and they're hoping because maybe they don't have a pipeline there. So like, you're trying to get more students, more athletes to come over that are watching Josh Allen, going, "Wow, if he goes to Wyoming and became this guy, then that maybe it's possible for me."
If I'm them, I want people from all over the country. I don't just want people from New York or just people from Wyoming. I want ideas from all over the country.
But you only have so much money. Why not put it where one of your biggest stars ever, maybe your biggest star ever, is thriving? You know, capitalize on his popularity a little bit. I actually like this idea. I think it's a good idea.
I think it's money. Well, I'm glad it's just $300,000.
It's not that much. I mean, in terms of what these schools typically make.
If they think it can bring people from all over the United States, then yeah, that's fine. If they're just getting one tiny sliver of the country, not cool with that.
Yeah, a little bit of breaking news here. Zach Stevens tweeting out, Garrett Bowles, thank you, Go Pokes, for sending this over. Garrett Bowles walked out of the ambulance without his pads. He walked on his own into the Broncos facility. He was being looked at in an ambulance, and then Courtland Sutton was dealing with an injury. So here's the updates there. and this is confirmed by Stevens, so we know it's trusted. Garrett Bowles walked out of the ambulance without his pads. He walked on his own into the Broncos facility. Cortland Sutton is back in after leaving slowly after the last play. So, whew, seems like Sutton's okay. Garrett Bowles is someone to watch out for. Another story here, Big 12 to issue player availability reports for first time. Yeah, you didn't know when guys were hurt in college sports. Like, you'd ask a coach and they'd always say the same, I don't know, maybe he's going to play, maybe not. But the Big 12 will release player availability reports for football and men's and women's basketball before all conference games, the conference announced Wednesday. Beginning the season, Big 12 football teams will submit daily injury and player availability reports starting 3 days before each conference game. Players will be designated as available, probable, questionable, doubtful, or out. Think gambling has something to do with that?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, like that's the main reason you do something like this. 12:16 the time. Former running back for the Colorado State Rams, Kyle Bell, was out at the scrimmage yesterday. It's cool to see him and his kiddo. Kyle's been a great friend of mine and a great friend of the show's for a very long time. I just kind of want to get his take on the team, but also like the former player engagement that it seems like CSU's doing. We'll talk to Kyle coming up next. First, we'll take a short break. I want to shout out to Renaissance Insurance Group. They are a fiercely independent insurance brokerage with a regional presence with extensive national resources. Check them out. My guy, Ryan, big-time Bears supporter, too, 970-674-8825, or visit him online, team-rig.com. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Kyle Bell, more Kyle Bell, coming up next.
Have a drink. Football 52, the two-man gang. Cody the weather guy and Front Range Spare Change. We do more than just radio. We have the best podcasts around. Get them all on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and 1310kfka.com.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310kfka.
People thought we were going to come in with more cowbell for our next guest, former Colorado State running back Kyle Bell. Always, I always love seeing the dude. I feel like I'm in pretty good shape, but then I see Kyle and I'm like, what the hell, man? He looks bigger than he did when he played football, or at least he looks like he's more fit than ever. But still, I'm happy. I guess I'm happy for you. Kyle, my friend, great seeing you yesterday, dude. And thanks for jumping on with us.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. It's always great to be with you.
Well, I want to get kind of a little bit of your take from what you saw yesterday. But what I'm really interested in talking about, too, Kyle, years ago when you and I kind of first connected, I believe that was during the Adazio era for Colorado State. And I know you and I had talked on the air, maybe a little off the air, about maybe not feeling that Colorado State reached out a lot to former players, getting you guys involved and being kind of a part of the program for well beyond your playing years. It kind of seems like that's changing a little bit, and seeing you there, not just to watch practice, but you're going on the tour, you got your kiddo with you. That just kind of hit my brain a little bit. I'm like, I think that's a great move. So I'm just curious kind of your thoughts on what CSU is doing now to engage former players.
Yeah, man, they're doing such a good job, I think, in terms of just creating an environment where former players are where we can feel welcomed. You know, you mentioned Adazio. That was basically like a two-year black hole of no engagement. I mean, I know COVID was in the middle of all that, but from the feedback that I've got, you know, that from people who were there and kind of worked along with them, he didn't even really have that much interest in having former players involved, which is funny because, you know, they're kind of the lifeblood of keeping a lot of the excitement within the program. So, it was what it was at that point in time, under, you know, Bobo before that, it was okay. You know, I think he appreciated the, you know, the alumni and the former athletes, But it's still, I think there was a lot to still be desired in terms of creating that sense of belonging. But with as soon as Coach Norvell has stepped in a few years ago, from right off the bat, it was kind of a totally different ball game. And, you know, just the individuals there within the athletic department and in the football offices, you know, they've got people in there who are, you know, who kind of their main responsibility is to engage with former players. I got to give a shout out to Patrick Kersey, who I've known for, gosh, I mean, over two decades. He's been with the athletic department for quite a while now. And that's kind of one of his sole responsibilities, is just to kind of be that bridge between the athletic the football program and former players. And they're doing a phenomenal job. So
what was that process like then? Because I've seen you more and more at stuff. I know you're going to games and seeing you out there yesterday. Is that a call out to you, an email? Hey, we'd love to come have you come by practice and not just watch, but to tour the facilities. Take me through how that process went.
Yeah, something like yesterday, being up there with my son Braxton, I reached out to Patrick, and I told him, you know, actually we had lunch a few weeks ago. He was down in the Denver area. Whenever he's down here, you know, he hits up everybody that he kind of knows here in the metro area for things like lunches or just kind of getting together. And so I had lunch with him a few weeks ago, and, you know, I said, hey, what's the camp schedule look like? I want to get my son up there. He said Wednesdays, you know, are typically scrimmage days. So I already kind of knew the schedule of things, made it work with my calendar, called him up and said, hey, I want to come up Wednesday. And he said, yeah, come on up. So it was as easy as that. There was really no laborious process involved. It's just picking up the phone, saying, what time's practice, and can we meet you there? And it was, yeah, that was that.
What do you make of everything, you know, like the facilities there? And, you know, obviously Canvas is just awesome. And I know you've been there several times on game day. But just getting a chance to go through and look through all of that, like how does that compare to your playing days, man?
Oh, yeah. And I had a chance, you know, I wanted to be able to take my son through the locker room and the weight room and just kind of show him all these things. And it's night and day compared to even 20 years ago when I was there. We had a full locker room renovation. I think it was 2006 when Joey Porter donated a good chunk of money to the program to do that. And so, but even that, for as nice as that was at that time, and as nice as that felt compared to what we had, it still pales in comparison to what these guys have now. Between the locker room, the players' lounge, the nutrition center, just, you know, obviously the weight room right there, everything being on, you know, just kind of right there on campus, and their access, and just how easy it is for them to really get what they need, the training room and all the luxuries they have there. It's awesome. I mean, it really just kind of speaks to the lengths that the university has gone to be competitive in the facility space and the amenity space to attract athletes who are getting recruited by the bigger schools who already have that. And so to say we're right up there with as good as anything anybody else has is pretty awesome.
Kyle Bell joining us, former Colorado State Rams running back. And Kyle, that's why when I look at like the facilities and everything that they have, everything you just mentioned, and that's where I do say, yeah, in the grand scheme of things, if the NCAA does end up, and we see, especially on the football side, a separation between, you know, the big boys, and then maybe there's eventually a separate league. These are the things I look at and say CSU could get there. They could be put in to the whatever this looks like, the Power Four conversation, the Pac-12. Now you just got to see it on the field. Both of those things have to connect. But the facilities, that does, I think that raises the stature up for Colorado State.
It certainly does. And I'll say, you know, winning solves most of your problems. Winning kind of cures everything. So that is always going to be kind of the first and foremost of it. But even if, you know, if you are winning and you kind of don't have everything else that goes along with it, you're kind of putting yourself at a disadvantage. And so that's, you know, you can see how everything has kind of gone these last 7-8 years with the facility. And now, you know, having a university president up there who's all in athletics, having a new AD who's really, really working hard to just kind of get these things in motion as we get into the Pac-12 and kind of the future schedules and the buzz that they're creating around not just football, but the athletic department in general, kind of having this whole group of people now who I think you can really with confidence say they're all in on athletics. It's a night and day compared to where things were, you know, even just 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, and again, I don't claim to know what an athletic director has to go through and the work that they have to do, but it seems like John Weber is doing some of these things, and I'm not meaning this negatively, but just doing some of these things that are obvious to me and fans. Like, yeah, you should be creating new game day features. You should be aggressive and talking about the Pac-12 and trying to make it fun for the fans, not just the game, but the in-game stuff. Not everything's been amazing. Not everything, like the Ram thing, I think is cool, but I'm still curious to see if they edit, how they work that out next year. But that's what I'm looking for, is just new ideas. And if they stick, that's awesome. If they don't, try something new.
Yeah, it's just forward thinking in terms of what's, you know, what's going to get people excited, what gets fans excited, what gets alumni excited, what gets recruits excited. And I think, again, you know, not speaking anything about previous administrations or anything, you know, our athletic directors or things like that. I think there was a lack of just trying to look at being innovative and just creating excitement, because that's really what it's all about. It's all about how excited are the people who are going to be giving their money, their time, their energy, you know, to the programs, coming to games, you know, donating, all these different things. That's what it's all about. And if you start to lose sight of that, then what's the whole point of even doing it? If you're not going to have community involvement, alumni involvement, you could do all you can do to try to get athletes in there and be competitive. But if you don't, they work hand in hand. And so that's where this, like I said, this current, current administration, between all the way up to the school president in Amy Parsons, who I've had a chance to, you know, interact with on multiple occasions. She's amazing. John's amazing. And so, really excited about what's going on.
What did you make of the scrimmage yesterday? Again, like for me, a lot of people just they hear scrimmage and they think it's going to be a full on game. It's situational stuff and all of that. But anything in particular stick out to you watching the scrimmage yesterday?
I mean, I think just the amount of athletes they've got on offense, the speed and the talent. I mean, Jackson Warren at tight end. Gosh, I went up and stood next to him. And I'm just like, staring straight up at this guy who's 6'8". And he had a little catch over the middle where he kind of just pulled away from the secondary. So the dude can run. I'm really excited to see what he can do in the group that they have at receivers. And then the running back room, the depth that they got there, they've got a pretty solid O-line as far as, some returning starters and just the depth there. So I think, with Braden coming into his third year now starting, I mean, I think all the pieces are there for them to be pretty explosive on offense. Defensively, with the new schemes and everything that they're gonna kind of be learning and some adjustment periods there, I'm sure. But I think offensively they've got all the tools, and so hopefully, as long as they can defensively be able to come out and compete every week, they should be pretty darn good.
What are your thoughts on Jay Norvell? You already kind of previewed that, saying, since he took over, there's been a lot more of the reaching out to former players, a lot of that stuff going on. But, you've had chances to interact with him. I talk to him in a media side of things, so I never really sit down and get to know a coach like on a one-to-one level typically. But what are your thoughts, when you listen to Jay, when you talk to him personally?
I mean, I think for me personally, and I can't, speak for all former players in regards to this. Everyone, I think, kind of has their own viewpoint of it. But for me personally, I just kind of look at it from a standpoint of, like, hey, if I was, 18, 19 years old again, knowing what I know now. But if I was, if I was a recruit, or if I was even, in the locker room at that point in my life in college, how's this guy coming across to me? And from the moment Jay got up to Fort Collins, I had a chance to meet him. I think it was the very first Ram Roundup recruiting thing that they did here in Denver. Had a chance to meet him, and pretty much right off the bat, I just kind of this feeling that, hey, this is a guy that I feel like I would want to play for. This is a guy I think that, like, I could get behind in terms of being, my head coach, a guy that I would want to follow out onto the field. You know, Sonny was obviously was that guy for me, you know, back when I was there and recruited me. And he was a guy that, you know, pretty much any player that you ever talked to who played for him would want to run through a wall for that man. And Coach Norvell gave me that same kind of a gut feeling of, hey, this is a guy who cares about not just, you know, being a head football coach, but developing men and caring about his players and wanting to do what's best for the team. And so I think that's been pretty consistent, you know, since he's been up there. Obviously, you know, we want to see more success on the field, which is coming, I believe. You know, these last 3 years, there's been consistent progress. So, hey, if this is the year we can kind of really finally start to take another leap forward, then I think, you know, he's hopefully will be here for, you know, another, who knows, 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, certainly a very important season for him. A very important season for Colorado State in general, this being the last year in the Mountain West before moving on to the Pac-12. Kyle, my friend, always appreciate catching up with you. I know you're a busy man, so I'm really appreciative of the time.
Anytime, Brady, for you, man.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon, okay? Keep those curls going. Keep them going.
Will do, buddy.
Kyle Bell. I kid. Kyle Bell, though, man, freaking legend. Colorado State legend. And I'm serious. The guy's, like, running marathons now all the time. He's a great influence. I mean, those are the guys you want. You know, they were successful at CSU. He actually had an opportunity to get into the NFL, but, you know, he had his knees, his injuries, those kind of things just really made that a struggle for him. But he's a great human, and he's a great representative of all things Colorado State. So, yeah, you got to get those guys coming in. You got to bring them in and showcase them and have them feel good about the program well into their 40s and 50s and 60s. So they're constantly talking about, you know, what Colorado State means to them. And that goes for every single school. You know, whether they're legendary players or they were just solid players or just good representatives of your school, you have to do it. So I wanted to highlight that today because I thought that was important, especially seeing as Kyle was one of the guys I talked to years ago about this. And he's like, yeah, I don't really feel it. There's not really a reach out. You know, there's not a lot of that going on. And that certainly seems to have changed. 37 minutes after the hour, Michael Porter Jr. says the quiet part out loud when it comes to gambling and players being involved. And it's interesting because his brother, of course, Jonte Porter, was banned by the NBA for gambling, for, you know, allegedly or, you know, whatever, faking an injury so that he could get an under in certain games. MPJ had some very enlightening things to say. We'll play that clip back coming up next, and then we'll react to it. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The sports gambling stuff can affect that a lot.
100%.
Think about it.
There you go.
You get mad at these dudes like
that
do the sports betting. But think about if you could get all your homies rich by telling them, yo,
no
bet $10,000 on my under. You know, this one game, I'm going to act like I got an injury and I'm going to sit out. I'm going to come out after 3 minutes. And they all get a little bad because you did it one game. Like, that is so not okay. But some people probably think like that. They come from nothing, and 100%. All their homies have nothing.
100%.
And they're like, bro, if I come out of this game after 3 minutes and y'all all hit on my under, we're all getting a little bad.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? And I obviously my brother went through his situation. You know, Malik Beasley's going through a situation right now. Terry Rozier was in some hot water. But the whole sports gambling, like, entity, bro, it's bad and it's it's only going to get worse, bro. Like, we really do get death threats. Like, if you miss a parlay, you can't.
Somebody doesn't hit a parlay.
Crazy part is you can't win anymore because if I do too good, I'm messing up the people that bet on the under. And if they bet on my over, like, you know what I'm saying? So you're messing up some people's money. If they bet on your under or over, you're messing up some people's.
You know what's crazy? You think about this? It's only in probably like what 13 states right now.
Well, no, I've never. Have you ever got? You've obviously gotten DM before, like, oh, you my parlay,
bro. What do you remember? Who was the dude in the football playoffs? That missed the catch in the end zone.
Yeah,
what was his name? He played on the.
Was it this past year?
Yeah, the past year, and he missed the catch. You know what I'm talking about? He had that catch right in the end zone. He's like one of the best tight ends.
Andrews. Andrews,
my boy. His social media. Think about too, how much money that's real death threats.
There's Michael Porter Jr. I think that was on his podcast, wasn't it? MPJ, it's just interesting hearing it from him. But I've talked about this for years now, how easy it is for you to simply say, hey, I can't bet, but you can bet on my under. You know, I'm tired anyway. I'll feign an ankle injury and you guys can make money. That is a real thing that the leagues, I mean, how do you begin to start figuring that out? Well, it's if you catch somebody doing it, you punish them as much as you possibly can. And that's like when you see Jonte Porter, he's done. He'll never play in the NBA ever again. And we'll see what comes of the Malik Beasley story, the Rozier story. As MPJ pointed out, that is 100% the biggest fear for professional sports. Is if fans start to get a whiff that players are involved in gambling, you stop gambling. Maybe you stop watching. I know there's a lot of people that watch sports just so they can gamble. And so if you start finding out that it's not just a player here or there, it's like the Donahue thing, man, the official. The NBA was quick to get out and say he was rogue. He acted on his own. This was not a ton of officials getting together to do this. They were quick to put that out there. And if you get a sense that multiple players are involved, and people go, well, why would players get involved? You know, you're millionaires. Why? Well, they want to be billionaires. People that make thousands a year want to make millions. People that make millions want to make billions. They want to use as much of their celebrity as they possibly can. And if they can control certain outcomes and make big time money, plus some of these guys are loyal to their people, you know, to their crew, who they grew up with, maybe who stuck by them while they were coming up through the ranks. And then they want to hook their guys up too. Obviously, none of that is right, but that is absolutely happening. And it did happen. And that is the biggest fear for all of these professional leagues.
Now, this gambling stuff's been happening for years. There was that Boston College point shaving controversy back in, I think, the 80s that might have had something to do with the mob. But, like, this stuff has been happening for years, but it's only going to get worse. Now, I'm all for legalized gambling, but it's like, you have to tell the people who are involved in the sports, and you have to tell people who run the sports, okay, we're involved in this. Don't even come close. You cannot not. I would say you guys got to be careful when you even go to Las Vegas. Like, don't play around.
You know what's going to happen. You know, I always say this. Like, we talk about how do you fix rules in college sports? Well, you're going to have to eventually get them to sign contracts so there's no tampering. Because I can't tamper. You're signed to a 2-year deal. You know how you fix this, Mike? Derbs is going to hate this right now. Derbs is, of course, the host of Front Range Spare Change, our betting podcast here, is you eliminate the unders. Because overs, I mean, that's still on you to try. You have to try to hit those overs. But if this continues on and the unders are causing this much chaos, do you think that gambling sites would eventually get rid of the under, especially for the individual performance option? So MPJ over under 12.5 points, there's no more unders. It's just over. So there is no, I got an injury, I'm out.
Depends on how much the under is making.
Well, if that's all you're betting on because you have inside scoop that Billy Bob's not going to finish the game because he told you that. That and again, doing what they're doing now is punt, when they catch you, you're done. Like, you have given up your opportunity now. So if there's, and again, they have people now that are following these trends closely. And if they start seeing some interesting under bets come in on guys, they are going to investigate it. But the integrity of the game, I've said this for years. Guys can do a lot of crazy things off the field and still get opportunities to play again. But if you mess with the game, if you're cheating in any type of way, we find out about it, we're going to really, really hit you where it hurts. And if it's gambling, you're probably done.
And we're going to Pete Rose you.
Yeah, 100%. Because that's what makes viewers go away when they think some of this might be fake. There's a script. There's guys throwing stuff. 49 minutes after the hour, short break here. We got top stories of the day, more on Colorado State. Also, we continue our opponent preview. I got the Broncos starting the season 2-0. Are they going to be 3-0? Week three, they go to Los Angeles to take on the rival Chargers. We'll talk about that coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Tonight at 5 to hear all about Fort Collins Lambkins football. Brought to you by Backus and Shanker.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Got our game beer of the week from On the Rocks Liquor. We're getting close to my favorite beer drinking time of year. September, October-ish is usually that time. We're getting the Oktoberfest coming out. This one's from Breckenridge Brewing, and it's their Oktoberfest. Celebrate the Broncos with this timeless lager. Get your six-pack today at On the Rocks Liquor, located half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. Make sure you tell them you heard about them right here on The Whole Show. We're going to be gearing you up all year, coming up with great specials courtesy of On the Rocks Liquor. All right, coming up next, we got Buy or Sell. More on the, well, on the Mountain West, on Colorado State, too, and then just what I kind of took away from the scrimmage yesterday. And then I didn't touch on this as much, but I want to get to the Big 12 thing as well. Everything is just centered around gambling. You know, we just heard Michael Porter Jr.'s clip. The Big 12 now going to be releasing the injury updates several days before conference games. If you don't think gambling drives everything in the sports world, you're out of your mind. And that's why guys that are messing around are punished big time. So we'll get to that coming up a little bit later on. It's The Whole Show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.